The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. This morning we have a guest with us, a fellow by the name of Chuck Stentz, and he's waiting for me to introduce him, and just did, but waiting for us to bring him on the air. Chuck and I have had a couple of occasions to be together over the past several years. I mentioned earlier that went electrofishing with Chuck on the electrofishing boat down on the where do we fish, Chuck?
Was it the chop tank?
No, it was down shad trip down down in Calvert County, I think.
Oh, you were on the Patuxent.
Patuxent, yeah. We were on the Patuxent. Yeah. And then last time we were together, we were attempting to capture an Atlantic sturgeon, if I recall, on the Marshy Hope, on about a 90 zillion degree day that was that you guys work in every day in the summertime, which I can't believe, but it's so. So, real quick update on the sturgeon. Do you still have your program in place or not?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay,
we,
good.
We caught five more this year.
Wonderful. A grand total of how many?
Between us and the state of Delaware, we're up to 21.
21, okay.
And you need... we caught a 7-foot, 8-inch, 154-pound female this past year.
Woo!
It was impressive.
That would be exciting. I'd like to have been on the boat that day. That was great. Yeah, man. Wow. Wow. And they're all wearing radio telemetry, I'm guessing, at this point.
They are,
most of them are. So, good.
Yep.
All right, good. Well, that'd be interesting down the road to see what happens with that species. Very interesting. Are they considered endangered now?
Yes, the Atlantic sturgeon are considered endangered. They were listed in April of 2012.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Very good. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some shad and other species that they're common this time of year in Maryland waters. First of all, let's give your title and kind of give me a little couple sentence or paragraph of your job description.
All right. I work for Department of Natural Resources for the Fishing and Boating Services. I'm the project leader for the Anadromous Restoration Project. I've been working with the state for 27 years now, and we're very lucky that we have the hatchery to be able to do this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
My career, I started out with striped bass, and we stocked millions of striped bass back into the bay, and moved on to American shad, hickory shad. Even a little bit of river herring with the bluebacks and alewife as well.
Right.
And, and it also the Atlantic sturgeon, so.
Yes, indeed. Very good. Tell everybody what an anadromous fish is.
Anadromous fish are any fish that lives in the ocean, so they're marine fish, but they migrate back into the fresh water to spawn. Our fish are... what they're called, idioparous, which means they can survive their breeding and return more than once to spawn.
Okay.
Whereas the fish down in the southern part of the states from, Maine or from Florida to Georgia to South Carolina, they usually only spawn once.
Like, almost like a salmon, so to speak.
Yes, correct. Like Pacific salmon.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, now we understand that. So you mentioned species that you're involved with, and I've been to the base of the Conowingo Dam with rod and reel, with the American shad guys, and we've caught American shad, and we've taken scale samples and measured them and tossed them back in. I fished with Uncle Dale for hickory shad on the chop tank and up in Deer Creek. And, you know, last year it was pretty amazing to see the gazillions of herring in there.
Yeah.
On the eastern, on the upper reaches of the chop tank. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you study the different species.
Well, the herring species, we had a project, in the Patapsco River that was started in 2013.
Okay.
And it was some mitigation money for the Masonville Cove work.
Okay.
And between American shad and herring, they're completely different as far as how we try to restore them, the problems that we have with each species. For instance, the herring, our biggest problem with the herring are they have very sticky eggs. And as soon as we try to spawn them, the eggs just stick to everything. So from a culture point of view, you know, from a culture standpoint, they're very, very difficult to work with. Where American shad and hickory shad, the eggs are buoyant and they just kind of float around and much easier to work with.
Okay.
We work with American shad on the Chop Tank River, and now we're going to be working on the Patapsco and hickory shad. We'll be stocking the Patapsco River with hickory shad this coming year.
Wow. Okay. That sounds like fun. Now, the hickory shad do not seem to be a species in trouble, are they?
It depends on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
This is the third year that we have not stocked hickory shad in the Chop Tank River. So what we're going to do this year is go back and reassess the river to see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is our third year rotation. So what we're going to do is we'll go back on the Chop Tank and also the Patuxent River, and we'll see how our hatchery effort fared. You know, if we were able to produce a self-sustaining wild population in the two rivers.
Okay.
So we'll use the electrofishing boat, and we have a set run that we have all of our data from years past, and we'll go back and see if our catch per unit effort is similar to what it was beforehand.
No, I remember that. I remember that. You do a certain route every time, and you monitor the fish in those routes. And I mean, it's imprecise in the way in the fact that you don't catch every fish that comes up to the surface, but
right.
You catch enough samples that you're able to take back and study and see what year class they are and that type of thing, whether this is a wild fish or a stocked fish. Am I correct on that?
Correct. Yeah, we with the adults, we can do several things. You know, throughout the course of our stocking program, every fish that leaves our hatchery has some sort of identifying mark on it. Now, it's not a mark that a fisherman will be able
no.
to see, but when we take a subsample of the fish during that electrofishing run, we bring them back to the lab, and like you're saying, we take scale samples, and we also remove the otolith, which
right.
is the ear bone of the fish.
Right.
And then through a process of analysis on the ear bone, we can determine whether it is a hatchery fish or a wild fish, and also at what life stage we stock the fish.
I can speak to a little bit to that otolith. Is it a phosphorescent dye or is it just a stain on the otolith?
It's basically the way we do it. It's we use the chemical oxytetracycline.
Right.
And what they do is when they're at the hatchery, depending on the species,
mm-hmm.
American shad, they get if we're stocking them as larvae.
Right.
They'll get a mark at day three.
Right.
And then if we save them and culture them in our hatchery ponds and then stock them 30 to 45 days later,
mm-hmm.
those will get another mark on them. So those fish will have like a day three and a day six mark.
Right.
And the hickory shad, same thing, only we stock those at day one for larvae and then day one, three for the early juvenile stocked fish, only because we can't even have it.
Right. And these fish are minute. These fish are half inch long, basically.
Yeah, when they come out of the egg, I always say they look like two eyeballs and a squiggle.
Yeah, exactly.
They're pretty much transparent.
Right.
You know, after 6 or 8 days, then they start to pigment up a little bit.
Right. So you take those fish at that stage, and they're basically immersed in this tetracycline.
Correct.
And that stains the otolith, the ear bone, in that period of time. You take them out of there. You take them out of there, they're reintroduced into clear water. Then on day six or three or whatever you decide, they go back into the tetracycline, whatever it is, and it makes a second stain.
Correct.
So when they continue to have this stain throughout their life. So when you sample them as adults and you take that otolith, that bone, under the microscope, you can see those stains that you put on there as larvae at day one and day three of their existence, even though these fish may be a couple of years old, you can still see that stain and you can say, okay, this fish is stained on day one and day three, so that means this fish was spawned and released in, you know, 2011 or whatever it is. Am I kind of boiling that down?
You can't get quite that specific with it. You can't tell what year it was.
Okay.
You can with American shad, because in 2009 we instated a process to help the ASMFC with their shad aging. There's a lot of controversy on how accurate it is.
Okay.
So what we did, we started a 3-year rotation in our marking system, which means instead of marking the larvae with that single 3-day mark, what we do is, let's say, for instance, in 2009 we did a day 3 mark. In 2010 we did a day 3-9 mark, and then in 2011 we did a day 3-9-10 mark. To differentiate, and then what it's a 3-year rotation,
right?
So that we can tell exactly what year that these fish were stocked. Then, knowing the known age of the otolith, they can go back with the corresponding scale, and if they read the scale as a 4 or 5 year old or whatever it is, we know that otolith says that it's, you know, X year,
yeah, whatever year class that is.
It's a way for them to make the scale reading process easier.
Okay. Chuck, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to take a little break, and then I'll come back, and I'm going to say, what's all this research for? What are you trying to do? What's the end game here? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray on bed liners. Linex spray on bed liners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. You know, a Linex spray on bed liner completely seals out water. That means no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting and fishing gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex Premium bed liner. That looks great. It offers UV protection. The Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match, that's another great bed liner as well. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. The Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Ask for Linex by name. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex has a new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive. That's in Windsor Mill. That's just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. You make that, if you're going in, let's say off of Rolling, you make the left on Lord Baltimore off of Security, and first building on the left-hand side, first bay on the right. That's 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive for Catonsville Linex. 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800 for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on truck bed liners. Now let me tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I like to recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, you take Route 100 to the end. You hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. You go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle. They also carry the best stainless steel crab steamers, half bushel, bushel, bushel. I mean, they're big. You'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 360-0573. Let's talk to Bud over there at Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600 square foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones.
We're back with Chuck Stentz, the project leader of anadromous fishes in the Chesapeake Bay. Fish that live in the ocean, migrate into freshwater to spawn. We're talking about American shad right now, and fascinating science to me, quite frankly, Chuck, and the job that you guys do. Just the scientific research that and time and energy and staff that's expended on that. We want to know what the end game is. Why are you doing this?
Well, at one point, the American shad were pretty much extirpated in the state, which means that the population levels were at or below a point where they can successfully spawn on their own.
Right.
There's just not enough of them out there to, you know, keep a population going. So we were able to find a population in the Potomac River that we were able to use as brood stock.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are such an important species in Maryland, American shad was always described as the fish that fed the nation's founders.
Exactly.
So it was a chance for us to be able to reintroduce this fish into other tributaries within the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay.
Using the science that we know and, frankly, how we learned how to spawn fish in the hatchery with striped bass, and we're able to tweak that a little bit to make our American shad and hickory shad restorations possible.
How much of the hatchery program and the spawning program for, you know, not only striped bass but also for the shad, how much is like on the job training? You try something and it doesn't work, so you try something else, and you know, and if it's successful, everybody stands back and says eureka.
I
science is, of course, the world of experimentation. You got to keep trying things until you figure it out, right?
And that's the problem when you have a migratory fish like this. You know, when they come into spawn, they're only here for a brief time.
Right.
So when you do have those issues, you need to make decisions really fast to, you know, if you need to change. For instance, with the eggs that stick to the sides of the tank.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we put the blueback herring in one of our culture tanks, and all of a sudden, eureka, they all spawned, and we're looking for all the eggs, and can't find the eggs, and they're like, why are they stuck to the bottom? So it's one of those operational things where you've got to change, you know, the way you do things.
Sure.
Really fast, because they're not going to be here forever. It's not like you can just go out and,
yeah,
you know, keep collecting them out of the river. They're only here for a short amount of time.
Sure, sure. Interesting.
So, The learning curve is very steep.
Yep.
The good thing is that we have, you know, 9 or 10 months to think about it for next year. So
sure.
We can, you know, do other things, learn how to do it in a different way. Each
sure.
one of our species is completely different on how we spawn them in captivity.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting. And, you know, when you're dealing with microscopic stuff for the most part, when you're dealing with these eggs and fry and all that stuff. I mean, for the most part, you can see them, but I mean, to really understand what they look like, you got to put them under the microscope and say, oh, I didn't know it looked like that. But
yeah,
you know, that type of thing. You mentioned, we were talking about American shad, and I brought up the hickory shad. Just roll it back to the American shad for a second. We had second caller this morning talked about the availability of shad roe. Where are shad still fished for commercially that there's enough of a stock that they can supply bone shad, for example, and shad roe to the marketplace?
Yeah, boy. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I know there are places I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, New York and other places where there's some commercial. But do we have a commercial shad fisher here in Maryland?
No, we do not.
Not at all?
No.
Yeah.
The only place, you know, the only thing is that people do fish for them recreationally.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, up at the Conowingo Dam.
And they're fun to catch, man. There's no question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think it's like trying to pull a piece of plywood through the water. They're so hard to bring to shore.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
And it's to the point now where, you know, in years past, and hopefully still is, the Choptank River up at Red Bridges has been a really hot place, and also on the Patuxent River where we always get a lot of reports that they're catching a lot of hickory shad in the upper reaches.
Exactly. Don't challenge my fiance to a hickory shad contest. She cleaned my clock last year, I'll tell you. Anyway, we'll let that one roll. But I love catching them. I mean, they're a lot of fun on light tackle. Yeah. There's no question. So
they are.
And they all go back, and it's all good. And then, you know, you're fishing. You never know this time of year. You might catch a nice crappie. You might catch a nice yellow perch, a white perch. You never know. But, when we went up there last year, Uncle Dale and I, we saw herring up there that were just unbelievable. Now, what's the difference between a blueback and an alewife herring?
The alewife come in a little bit earlier than the bluebacks do.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the alewife are here right now, believe it or not.
Okay. Now, that's not the same alewife that we call bunker or, what else do we call them here? Is that the alewife that we're talking about? Is the food fish for the striped bass, the massive schools we see out in the bay?
They are food fish for the striped bass, but I think what you're thinking of are the menhaden.
Menhaden. Yeah. Yes, menhaden. Mm-hmm.
The alewife are the same as the American shad, hickory shad. They
right.
move to the upper reaches of the rivers.
So why do they call menhaden alewife?
Well, they're just two different species of them. You have the alewife herring, and then you have the blueback herring. Together, a lot of times they'll just collectively call them river herring.
Okay, which is different than the menhaden how?
The menhaden don't move up into the rivers the way the river herring do.
Okay, so you're talking three different species here.
Yes, they are three separate.
Okay, so you got menhaden, alewife herring, and blueback herring.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
The alewife herring and the blueback herring are the ones that we had a small restoration project in the Patapsco River.
Right. How are they doing?
Actually, we've completed stocking in the Patapsco River. They're to the point now where they don't need any more hatchery help to keep the population going.
Okay.
All the analysis that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did for us said that it doesn't seem like we need to do any more stocking.
Right.
When we're reading those little otoliths, we find a lot more wild fish than we do a hatchery fish.
Oh, that's
so
good.
We're really not making that much of an impact to
sure.
a population.
Well, when they stopped fishing for them for bait, and when they stopped the dip netting and all that stuff, and this is over a generation, they slowed down and even the popularity of the fishery became less and less and less, and then eventually it was stopped altogether as far as the herring fishery. You stop taking so many of them out of the ecosystem, you got more stock to spawn.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing how many of them successfully spawn moving up into the rivers. They're almost to the point last year, when we're trying to collect hickory shad for our hatchery program. The amount of blueback herring and alewife herring, depending on the time of year that we're there,
mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to tell the difference between a hickory shad and an alewife herring on the electro fishing boat.
I got it, yeah.
Because you don't see them for very long on the electro fishing boat, especially in the Susquehanna River. You get little glimpses of them, and there's lots of them. Well, there were last year. There
yeah,
were
okay. Are you fish? Are you electro fishing yet this year?
Oh, 2 weeks ago, I would have thought we were late. I mean, the forsythia started blooming.
I know.
I started getting nervous. Here we go. It's early. It's like a month early. And
yeah.
Then all of a sudden, it was 23 degrees the other morning.
Yeah, I know.
it always drives me crazy thinking that we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. And then, spawning season lasts about 6 weeks. So.
Right. Well, somewhere in that window, you guys are out there doing what you do.
Yeah, we used to always just have a target date of April 1st. We start fishing,
right?
But to make our science more specific, more accurate, we try to make our first pass before any of the fish are there.
I got it.
And it seems like it's been earlier and earlier every year. We've already caught hickory shad on the Choptank River this year.
Really?
Yeah, we caught two of them last week.
Whoa. Well.
But, you know, with the water temperatures, they're cooling off a lot.
Yeah.
Even if we were able to bring fish back to the hatchery, we can't get them to spawn when it's this cold. And even if they would spawn with the hormones that we give them, they you know, the eggs won't survive in this kind of these cold temperatures.
Sure, I got that. So, all right. Well, look, looks like a good place to take another little break here, Chuck. So let me tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop's Ready to Rock sale. Rockfish season right around the corner. Trophy rockfish season, April 15th. 35-inch limit on those fish, one a day. And started yesterday through Sunday, March 26th. Next Sunday, the Ready to Rock sale is going on at Clyde Sports Shop. They've got all the ugly stick rods on sale. The Shakespeare rods and reels are all on sale. The Fluger rods and reels are all on sale. The trolling combos start at $89.95. And that $89.95 unit is a 309, Pen 309 with a Shakespeare 6-foot rod with a roller tip and line. Ready to go, ready to troll, $89.95. The best and most popular, well, the most popular trolling combo is that Pen Warfare 30. Level wind with an Andy rod, 20 to 50 pound rod and line for $139.95. And the Pen Warfare itself is on sale for $89.95. That's a pen reel special. You got to check that out. Now, if you need fresh line, and who doesn't? I mean, if you fish all season, you got nicks and chips and scratches and, you know, weakness. If you carry your rod and reel around in your trunk or your back seat or your back window or whatever, that monofilament line is just going to crack and coil on you and everything else. So you'll know if you start stringing the line off to check it this year and it's all coiled up, it's time to get rid of all of it and replace it with new premium monofilament line at Clyde Sports Shop during their sale, because it's all half price, starting at just 1 cent a yard. So strip all that old coily old line off your reel, take your empty spools in, and they'll fill them up for half price, starting at just 1 cent a yard. Now, that excludes Power Pro, which is a braided line, but it's all premium monofilament. Strand, Berkeley, your choice, whatever it is per yard, you get it for half. All Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, the 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH, that's for sure. All right, let me tell you about Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie for spray-on bedliners, that's for sure. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one. They carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. You can choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar for strength, and you can match your paint to your paint coat on your truck. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out rust. I mean, it completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear. Toughest accessories for your truck, step bars and tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more to be offered there. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linex spray-on bed liner and truck gear accessories. Now, Catonsville Linex has moved. Their new location is 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. That's just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. Phone number there, 410-455-0800. Very convenient. It's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Right off Ritchie Highway, that's 201 Wholesome Way, 410-789-0199, 410-789-0199 for Catonsville and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
All right, let's talk again to Chuck Stentz with the DNR Fisheries Service. He's the program guy, the project leader for the anadromous fish program, and we're talking about shad, hickory shad, and herring today. And here is somebody who's probably caught more shad than anybody in the world, and that's our buddy Uncle Dale from Easting. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Chuck, how are you?
All right.
All right. Hopefully our feathered friends are hundreds of miles south of here.
Our feathered friends?
Chuck knows.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, Chuck, you touched earlier on trying to work with trying to determine the age of the shad through the various patterns and the otolith markings. Has that proved fruitful? Because looking at those scales, as you well know, they're not the easiest things in the world to read. In fact, we used to call it an art, not a science.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether you've been able to verify ages and get some correlation with the marks on the scales.
Yeah, one of our mutual friends, when I was first taught how to read them, he always said you put your wizard hat on and you take your best guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a...
Scientific conversation here, guys.
Yeah.
well, the cating method was used by a lot of people. A lot of people didn't like it either, but it was provided some sort of guideline. But when Mike Hendricks was doing the... trying to develop the various patterns, you know, some of those known age fish didn't turn out too well with respect to the cating method. And I didn't know whether there's been any verification of the scale marks with the olith pattern.
Okay, Dale, I don't know what you said, but it was Portuguese. So, kind of bring it down a notch for our listeners.
Well, again, you can count the annuli on a scale to determine age, like treatment.
Yeah, but you talked about some method that
the cating method. It was just a method developed by a scientist in New York in the early 50s.
I see.
Try to determine where those annuli might be based on the various patterns of growth.
Okay, I think.
But see,
it would be similar to looking at a tree.
Like, yeah, the growth rings on a tree.
And
yeah.
And the problem is that, if for some reason they don't grow as much as they would from one year to the next, you have rings that are a lot closer together and you can overlook them.
Right.
Or, you second guess yourself because, maybe it grew a lot in one year. And what Dale's talking about is exactly that, the cating method. They're saying that it's not a very good method for American shad. However, what ASMFC is trying to do is they're trying to get enough known age fish where they can conduct a workshop.
I see.
And to, be able to have known age fish that they can bring in and have all their scientists from the different states.
And you're saying the words known age fish. In other words,
correct.
You know how old that fish is.
Yeah, and the only way you can tell is to have some other identifier that you can put on the fish. One of the ways that we used to do it was to use what was called a coded wire tag.
Right.
The same principle as they use on the salmon where they put a tiny little metal chip in the tip of their snout. We would do the same thing. The problem we had was that by the time the fish were big enough where they could survive us tagging them, they lost their homing ability where they very, very rarely come back to the river that we stocked
them. Ah.
And
that would present a management problem, wouldn't it?
Correct, yeah. So what we did is we're trying to use our OTC marking method, like I was talking about on that rant, on that rotating schedule, to be able to have known age fish where we can give them the scales to read. Now, the on the other side of that coin, you have to be able to catch the adult American shad. And that's proved to be quite difficult for us, especially in the Choptank River. We also do a summer...
Why, are they too fast for you?
Well, they don't seem to go as far up river as what the hickory shad do.
Yeah,
What happens is the farther you get down river, the river gets a lot wider, it gets a lot deeper.
Right.
And your efficiency of your electrofishing equipment, you just have a hard time catching them.
Sure.
So
explain just briefly about how that electrofishing boat works.
We have a 7.5 kilowatt generator on board, and I try to keep it right around 2 amps of electric, and we usually use about 500 volts. Obviously, you don't want to step in the water when we're using it, but the driver has a pedal, and both of the netters on the bow have a pedal, and you just go down river real slow, and as long as you have your foot down on the pedal, it'll put electric into the water, and it just stuns the fish, and it brings them up enough so that you can net them.
Right.
And they don't
stay up there very long. If you're not quick with the net, those fish recover extremely. I was very impressed how good your netters are and how fast they spot a fish and net it until the fish actually recovers and goes back down. I mean, it's seconds.
Once you do it for a while, you can tell the difference between a hickory shad and an alewife just by the color.
Right.
As it's kind of rolling over. Most of the time, they don't come up to the surface like you would like you would think. You just get glimpses of them. And after you do it for so long, you realize that the alewife have more of a yellow hue to them and the hickory shad have a purple hue to them.
Got it.
Because they are somewhat similar in their size, so it makes it... a little difficult to find them, but they recover, in a few minutes. We used to have a lot of people complain that we're killing fish, and it's just not like that. We use as little amperage as possible in the water.
Oh, I can tell you, you're not killing fish. I've been there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, that's how the electrofishing boat works. It's a very safe piece of equipment as long as you follow all the, you know, the guidelines. And then when we're working on the Susquehanna River, there's a whole new level of, I don't want to call it danger, but...
caution.
You know, with the submerged rocks and hitting the rocks with the boat and all that stuff. You really have to be, you know, on guard. You have to know what you're doing when you're fishing on a Susquehanna with electrofishing rig.
That's right. Cool. Very nice. All right.
But Dale was saying about the known age fish.
Right.
What they need is they want to get at least 100 fish that we can identify the age of them. So what we're doing is now that we know how to catch the American shad adults on the Choptank River, we changed from electrofishing to gill netting further downriver.
I see.
And over the past 2 years, we caught 45 fish this past year, and I think we caught about 30 the year before. So now that we're dialed in on the fish, we'll be able to give them what they need to make a better decision on.
And when you say them, you're talking about the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Got it.
Now then, the other problem is that of those 45 fish that we recaptured, you know, a good majority of them were wild. So obviously, you can't give them those. And then the other portion of that, there are some of them that are early juveniles, which we don't vary the mark on. So we only have a small portion of that 45 fish that we can actually give to them.
Right.
Because they're the ones that have the rotating mark on them. So I think this past year we have 11 fish from 2015 or 2016 that we have saved for them.
Wow. Fascinating. Again, you guys, you fisheries biologists, your work just continues to fascinate me, and I hope our listeners find it as interesting as I do, learning about how we manage our fisheries here, because, you know, you've talked about three species. We have, what, 70-some species of fish that we manage here in Maryland.
Right.
You know? And one of them right now in the General Assembly, very controversial, is the cow-nose ray. And we won't get into that one today, but, I mean, it's just that's a migrator that nobody knows, seems to know a lot about. I mean, you might know about the biology of it, but what do we know about the numbers or anything else? It's just not a fish that's used for commercial use. It's not a very big recreational fish, and it's just kind of like a big – I don't know, big denizen of the Chesapeake Bay that there's not much known about. So,
right.
You know, but we'll, that's another fish, another species for another day. So, any other questions there, Dale?
No, that's fine.
All right.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Hey, buddy. We're going to get together and do some shad fishing. I need to practice for when I take Robin. Thanks, Dale. See you, buddy. Dale went. Okay. Chuck, Final word here from a couple of sponsors, and then we'll come back and wrap this up, okay?
All right.
All right. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, there are big sales going on right now. All rockfish and trolling baits and lures are on sale. All the Shakespeare rods and reels, all the Fluger rods and reels are on sale. The Ugly Stick rods are on sale. You can get a fresh line wound on your empty spools. All you got to do is take them in, and they'll fill them for half price. Half price on monofilament line, Berkeley, the Strand, Shakespeare, all that, starting from only 1 cent per yard. So what a deal, that's for sure. The Penreel Specials, the Warfare, the 30-weight level wine, $89.95. Trolling Combos start at $89.95, which includes a Pen 309 and a Shakespeare rod and line with a... That rod has a roller tip on it, and the most popular trolling combo is that Penn Warfare hooked up with an Andy 6-foot rod, 20 to 50-pound rod with line, $139.95. Get ready for fishing season, any type of fishing you want to do, whether it's trout or panfish or rockfish and bass and everything else. They've got all you need, including fishing licenses, rod and reel repairs, live bait, and all that. At Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They do have a website, clydesports.com. The 24-hour fishing hotline is 410-247-FISH, 247-3474 for 24-hour fishing hotline. Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full-service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multi-purpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with Chuck Stentz with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We've been talking about shad and herring. And, you know, the question is to what end? And that's to make sure that these fish species are recovered in Maryland. And I don't know that we'll be back to the good old days where you can actually catch and keep an American shad. Chuck, what do you think?
That would be nice. That's our goal.
That's the goal.
One river at a time.
That's perfect. Perfect way to end it. Chuck, I want to thank you for being here today. Appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we'll be in touch. Maybe if I get in touch with you, do a little electrofishing trip with you one day.
Okay, we'll be out there.
You got it, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, we're done, folks.